and the proof that that he has these attributes. And we mentioned that these attributes are established by three ways. The first way is by Al-Qur'an, meaning the Book of Allah, Al-Kitab. Second is Al-Sunnah. And the third is Al-Ijma'. And we also mentioned that some of these attributes are not established by C. Excuse me. Some of them are not established by A. Pardon me. By A. Some of them are established by B and C, but many of them are established by A, B, and C. All right? Some of the ones that the one I think we ended at last week was ar-ridha, the pleasure of Allah. And I think we mentioned who, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, what is the opinion of the Ahlul Ta'til, the people of deviance. What do they say the meaning of the pleasure of Allah is? Did we say? A rida, pleasure.
Reward.
Yeah, they say it's reward. Pleasure is spelled like this. A rida. A rida. A rida. Pleasure. Like we say, or Allah says, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Rida. There's a very famous name in Egypt. A lot of Muslims have this name. Rida. You see a lot of Muslims named Rida. Pleasure. Right. There's also another word that's from the same root, which is Ridwan. Ridwan. It's in the Quran too. There's a lot of other words. Marudiyya. That's another word. Marudiyya. This comes from the same verbal root. You say you have a nafsun marudiyya, or nafsan marudiyya, means a pleased soul. A soul that has pleasure, that's pleased. Anyway, in fact, there's some narration, the authenticity. MashaAllah. Wa alaykum salam. MahaAllah. How you doing? Alhamdulillah. Boy, a great pleasure. There's some narrations that says that the angel of that guards paradise is named Ridwan. There's some speculation if that's really the name of the angel. But anyhow, this is the word. as for the next attribute of Allah, this one is confirmed by A, B, and C. Al-Kitab, meaning the Book of Allah, the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Ijma' of our rightly guided predecessors. Don't have to worry about these words right here. This one is more important for the one we just left, but you don't have to worry about them too much. The next one is Al-Mahabba. 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 al-mahabba, which means what? Love. All right. This is an attribute of Allah. Al-mahabba. Al-mahabba is confirmed in the Quran and in the Sunnah and by the our rightly guided predecessors, ijma' of the Salaf, the consensus of the Salaf. If anyone has a mushaf, an English translation of the Quran, they can check this out. Chapter 5, maybe you can check this out for us. Chapter 5, verse 54 is proof for this. Oh, by the way, I didn't give you the proof for riba, did I? Chapter 5, verse 119. And for this one, it's chapter 5, what did I say? Verse 54. Surah 5, ayah 54. The verse says, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. A rough translation of that, I guess, is soon, Allah will come with a people whom He will love and they will love Him. What does it say? Right. Not as they, and they will love Him. Alright, so this is a proof that Allah has love. That this is an attribute of Allah. And this is confirmed in the Quran. As for the Sunnah, there is a hadith in the transmission of Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, and the Kitab Al-Maghazi, the book of expeditions and wars. That's the book that you find in Al-Bukhari. And the section is in Ghazwatu Khaybar. It's in the section under the expedition of Khaybar in Al-Bukhari. It's in the book of expeditions, and you find it in the section of the expedition of Khaybar. You may see it spelled like this too. Alright, both are correct. Doesn't make any difference. That's the section you find it under. The book is the book of expeditions in Al-Bukhari, and the section is the section on the expedition of this particular battle. The expedition of Khaybar. And it's also in Muslim under the section of excellent qualities of the Sahaba. Fada'ilu Sahaba. Radiallahu anhum ajma'een. Under the section of the excellent qualities of Ali radiallahu anhu. The hadith is on the authority of Sahal ibn Sa'adin. The hadith is on the authority of Sahal bin Sa'ad. Right, رضي الله عنه. The hadith says, لأعطين الراية غدا رجلا يحبه الله. Okay, روحي. السلام عليكم. لأعطين الراية غدا رجلا يحب الله ورسوله ويحبه الله يحب الله ورسوله. وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. A rough translation of this is, the Messenger of Allah said on the day of Khaybar, I will most definitely, and actually, when it says لَأُعْتِيَنَّ, for those brothers who are studying Arabic, this noon at the end is called نُونُ ثَقِيلَ, and the lamb that's before it, لَأُعْتِيَنَّ, right? لَأُعْتِيَنَّ I think this is it. Let's see. Nope. One, yeah. The Urtiyanna. This is when you say La Urtiyanna, or when you say La, and then has a noon with a shadda on the end, has this La in the beginning of the verb, and the shadda on, this is for the brother who's studying Arabic. Please be patient, everybody else. Has the La like this, and the La like this, with this noon, they call noon thaqila or noon mushaddada. That means this actually is saying, actually what you're saying is, Wallahi, that's what you're saying. It's not mentioned, but that's what this means. That's what you're saying. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alhaakumut takathur hatta zurtumul maqabir, kalla sawfa ta'alamun, thumma kalla sawfa ta'alamun, kalla law ta'alamuna ilma al-yaqeen, latarawunna al-jaheen. I swear by Allah, you will see it. No, you're going to, I swear by Allah you're going to see it. That's what that means. When it says, لَتَرَوُنَّ with the shadda on the noon at the end, that means, wallahi, you're going to see it. That's what it means. This is very emphatic here. Alright? So, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لَأُعْتِيَنَّ الرَّايَةَ غَدًا رَجُلًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. I will surely give the flag tomorrow to a man who loves Allah and His Messenger, and Allah and His Messenger loves him on the day of Khaybar. He says, I'm going to give the banner, the flag, the standard of Islam to this man tomorrow. And wallahi, I'm going to give it to him, and he loves Allah and His Messenger, and Allah and His Messenger loves him. Who is this man? Anybody know? Huh? Nobody knows? Was Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Alright? That's who it was. And it's confirmed by the our rightly guided predecessors, أجمع السلف وعلى ثبوت المحبة لله يحب ويحب فيجب إثبات ذلك حقيقة من غير تحريف ولا تعطيل ولا تكييف ولا تمثيل وهي محبة حقيقية تليق بالله تعالى. That the Salaf, our rightly guided predecessors, the Sahaba, and the generation who came after them, and the generation who came after them, they are all in agreement, and it's firmly established that they agree of the attribute of Muhabba, that Allah has this love, and that He loves and that He is loved. And it's obligatory. The establishment of this is obligatory. The affirmation of this is obligatory. And that it is an actual love. That Allah has actual love. It may seem kind of academic, brothers, why we talk about, you know, saying Allah actually loves or not. But, unfortunately, there are people who say Allah doesn't love. They say, there are people who say, the Muslims, who say that Allah is loved, but that He doesn't love. Alright? And we believe that Allah has actual love without tahrif, without changing the meaning, without ta'til, without negating the meaning, without takyif, without saying how Allah loves, and without tamthil, saying that Allah's love is like the love of something that He created. And that this love is an actual love which is befitting Allah, the High, the Exalted. وَقَدْ فَسَّرَهَا أَهْلُ التَّعْتِيلِ بِالثَّوَابِ وَالرَّدُّ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمَا سَبَقَ فِي الْقَاعِدَةُ الرَّابِعَةِ. And the people of deviance, who have deviated among us in the Ummah of Muhammad, they say that the pleasure of Allah doesn't really mean pleasure. They make tahrif, they change it to what? Reward. They changed that to reward too. Alright, you were going to say something? I will give. It means I swear by Allah I will give. I swear by Allah I will give. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. All right. The next one. Somebody used a substance on here they shouldn't have used. The next one is الغضب. الغضب الغضب anger, the anger of Allah. Turn to Surah An-Nisa, verse 94. This is the proof from the Quran, and this is confirmed by A, B, and C: Al-Kitab, Al-Sunnah, and Al-Ijma'. Alright, Al-Ghadab min sifatillahi thabitatin lahu bil-kitab wa-sunnah wa-ijma' al-salaf. That anger is one of the affirmed attributes of Allah that He has, and that it is affirmed by the Book of Allah, the Sunnah, and the Ijma', the consensus of our rightly guided predecessors. قال الله تعالى في من قتل مؤمنا متعمدا. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran concerning those people who kill believers intentionally, the verse says what? Chapter 4. وغضب الله عليه ولعنه. Translations have 93 and some of them have 94. So change it to 93. What's 93?
A man kills a believer.
There you go. He says the wrath and what?
The wrath and the curse of Allah.
Now what he's done, what Yusuf Ali did, that's not ta'fir. This is tahrif. He changed the meaning of the word ghadab. What does it say? What? Wrath? No, it's not wrath. It's anger. This is the anger of Allah, not the wrath of Allah. It does not mean the wrath of Allah. It means the anger of Allah. And there's a difference. We're going to come to that, inshallah. Can somebody find the number of chapter Zukhruf? Az-Zukhruf. Zukhruf is something like something that's like an adornment. I don't know how they translate it in English. Find that surah and just stick to verse 55 while we talk about the rest of this. So it's confirmed in the Book of Allah, Surah 4, verse 93, that Allah has ghadab. Okay, Surah 43 for Zukhruf. Alright, now it's confirmed also in the Sunnah, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, in the Book of Tawheed and Al-Bukhari. The Book of Tawheed, Al-Tawheed and Al-Bukhari. In the section of Allah's statement, the Most High, بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٌ. Right, on the section, but rather, it is a glorious Quran in a preserved tablet. That's the section that it's in the Book of Tawheed in Al-Bukhari. Alright? The hadith is, فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم إن الله كتب كتابا عنده فوق عرش فوق العرش إن رحمتي تغلب غضبي. That Allah wrote a book, or He ordained a book, or He prescribed a book that is with Him above the throne. And what was written? Surely my mercy exceeds my anger. And they also translate this as my wrath, but it means anger. What was written? Inna rahmati taghlibu ghadabi. Surely my mercy exceeds my anger. Wa ajma' as-salaf على ثبوت الغضب لله فيجب إثباته من غير تحريف ولا تعتيل ولا تكييف ولا تمثيل وهو غضب حقيقي يليق بالله. And the Salaf, our rightly guided ancestors and forefathers, they are affirmed in agreement, total agreement, that Allah has anger. And that is absolutely obligatory for us to also affirm that without tahrif, changing the meaning, without ta'atil, denying that Allah has anger, without takyif, and without tamthil, and that this anger is actual anger befitting Allah. وَفَسَّرَهُ أَهْلُ التَّعْتِيلِ بِالْإِنْتِقَامِ. And the people of that have deviated in the Ummah of Muhammad, the Ahlul Ta'til or the Mu'attila, they translate or change the meaning of ghadab to al-intiqam, which is retribution or wrath. Which is retribution or wrath. So to translate it as wrath is a big mistake. This is tahrif. Alright? And a proof for this is chapter 43, verse 55. Someone read that, where Allah says, فَلَمَّا أَسَافُونَا إِنْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ فَلَمَّا أَسَافُونَا إِنْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ. What does it say? Okay, say it again.
When at length they spoke us, exact retribution from them.
Okay, can you read this translation?
When they angered us, punished them in downfall.
There you go. Okay. So if this is not too bad either over here, Yusuf Ali. This is a proof. فَلَمَّا أَسَافُونَ إِنْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ. When they made Allah angry, then the wrath came. The wrath is a natija. It's a result of the anger. It's not anger itself. The wrath is not anger. The wrath is a result of the anger. So once Allah is angry, then He sends down His wrath. It's two different things. So to say that wrath is anger is wrong. And the reason why the people that have deviated among the ummah say that it's not, Allah is not angry, they say because anger is an emotion from the heart, and the blood boils. So Allah doesn't have a heart and He doesn't have blood, so we can't say that Allah is angry. This is what they say. Alright? Any questions about this before we go on? What did I say? The book of Tawheed, under the section of Oh, nobody put it down? Nobody put it down, huh? No, I said it in English too. I said preserved tablet. Yeah, the section dealing with that Allah's statement, but rather it is a glorious Quran in a preserved tablet. I said that. In English. Ghadab. Ghadab. Right. No, not necessarily. No, he has this. Well, of course. I mean, of course, he has the attribute of anger, and Allah is not angered, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not angry with you just because you provoke him. It could be because of some sin. It's a semblance of provocation, but remember, some people think that when someone provokes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it's because of some sin that they've committed. Most people, most Muslims, and Allah knows best, think that when Allah is provoked, when He becomes angry, it's because of something that they did. But sins are of two types in Islam. Two types. There's the sins of commission, and there's the sins of omission. You follow me? Who doesn't understand? The sins of, yes. Commission and omission. Commission are the sins that people commit. The omission are sins that they commit by omitting some obligatory act. Once you see, committing a haram, like adultery or getting high or stealing or bribery or backbiting, these are sins of commission. This makes Allah angry. Alright? This is a provocation, and you're provoking Allah when you do this. But also, if you leave off obligatory acts, this is a sin of omission. You didn't actually commit a sin like kill somebody unjustifiably, but you left off an obligatory act, then the reverse of that means you committed a sin by omitting an obligatory act. Right? So there's sins of commission and sins of omission. Yes. Right. That's right. That's right. Absolutely not. Because he's not like us. And proof for that Allah is not like us is what? Laysa? No. Laysa kamithlihi shay'un wa huwa as-sami'ul basir. That's the proof. To say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this right? Is pleasure? Is that correct? Yes. Okay. I don't want to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending that trial on the Bosnian Muslims. May Allah deliver them from this oppression and this hardship they're going through right now. It's very cold there, and thousands of Bosnians are dying right now. Muslims are dying because of extreme cold. We should make dua for them. But I wouldn't say that it's because of Allah's displeasure for them or His anger, and Allah is trying them for this, because Allah tries people with good and evil. So, I mean, if a person has just been given $70 million, if a Muslim's been given $70 million, we can't say Allah is angry with him, because that's a trial too. We don't want to say when Allah tries you, this is anger. You know, Allah is angry with you. Because every day we're tried. Every single day we're tried. That doesn't mean Allah is angry. In fact, there's authentic narrations that mention, that implies, some even explicit, that the more Allah tries you, it shows the more He loves you. The more He tries you, it shows that He loves you. The more He tries you, it's showing that He loves you. The more He tries you, because you're His slave, and He wants you to get closer to Him by passing the trial. The greater your iman, the greater the test will be, and He'll never try you with things that are easy for you. He'll always try things that are difficult and things that you like. All right? Yes. Mm-hmm.
I want
to tell what he said, but I haven't said a lot of names. Oh, yeah, we've been giving out of, well, we were giving out a verse that we had to learn every week. And there's Lesa Kemitzli he Shei. There's nothing like him. Kemitzli he Shei'un wa huwa sami'ul basir. And he is the hearer, the seer. That's the verse I call the bailout verse. That's the verse I told everybody, if you don't know any verse, if you're talking about Allah and His names and His attributes, that'll help you out. That'll bail you out of any problem. You just say nothing like Him and just go on about your business. Inshallah. All right. The next is, I don't know what the number of Surah Muhammad, I believe it's like 47. 47, I think 48 is Fath. 28 is the verse. This is As-Sukht. As-Sukht. As-Sukht min sifati Allahi thabita bil kitabi wa sunnati wa ijma'i salaf. It's also the displeasure of Allah. And this word Sukht, really displeasure is not really a good definition. But I can't think of another word. As-Sukht is right, is very close to ghazab. When you talk about something having Sukht, I know some people want to hear it, yes. As-Sukht. Is that too many? Yes. Okay. There you go. As-Sukht. Right? This word as-sukht is very close to the word ghadab. It's a strong displeasure. In fact, I better put strong displeasure. Strong displeasure. Strong, very strong. This is confirmed by A, B, and C. The Book of Allah, the authentic Sunnah, and the consensus of the Sahaba, that Allah had strong displeasure. He has, not had, but has. And this is evident by, if you look at the surah called Muhammad, verse 28, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمُ اتَّبَعُوا مَا أَسْخَطَ اللَّهِ. All right? And the translation for that is what?
The wrath of Allah,
and they hated Allah. Oh, ذَلِكَ with what? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمُ اتَّبَعُوا.
Because followed that which called forth the wrath of Allah.
See, there he is again. He's changing the meaning. He's changing the meaning now. Okay, what does he say?
That is because they followed that which angered Allah.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. So he translates it as sukht, as anger. In some instances, sukht can be anger. But it's so close to it, it's very, you know, you need someone who really knows Arabic very well to explain the difference between this and, not ghadab, but karaha, karahiyya, and sukht, displeasure. When you say like something is makruh, or something is maskhut, is very, very disliked. It's almost like you hate it. You know, it's almost like, you know, you're very angry with it and you hate it. It's just repugnant to you. Right? And then we have the hadith that is collected by Imam Muslim. It's in the book of As-Salah. The book of As-Salah. In the section, what is said, ما يقال في الركوع والسجود. What is said in al-ruku' and al-sujood? What is said, meaning like dhikr, dua, like the dua that you would say in ruku' and sujood. And the hadith is on the story of Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother. Going too fast?
No.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. It's in Muslim, in the book of Salah, under the section of what is said in ruku' and sujood. You mean the Islamic meaning?
Yes.
We'll come to it later. We don't want to deviate from that. It says that وَكَانَ من دعاء النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم, and of, from among the dua that the Prophet used to say, some of the many, 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 many dua, he used to say, اللهم إني أعوذ برضاك من سخطك وبمعافاتك من عقوبتك. Oh Allah, a rough translation, surely I seek refuge, I seek refuge in your pleasure, in your rida, from your sakht. Alright? Inni a'udhu bi ridaka min sakhatika. In actuality, so now I see that this should be spelled differently. This should have an A. Because you can spell a sakht. No, wait a minute. Yeah, this is correct. Because this here it's spelled sa-kha. 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 Alright? Basically the same word. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you. I seek refuge with your pleasure from your anger. And listen to this. وَبِمُعَافَاتِكَ مِنْ عُقُوبَتِكَ. And from your, I seek refuge with you, O Allah, in your, I seek refuge in your protection from your punishment. And there's another one in this, I think it's the same hadith as this one, the same dua, where it says, Allahumma a'udhu bika minka. A'udhu bika minka. I seek refuge in you from you. I seek refuge with you, from you. Now think about that, because, you know, usually we say, I seek refuge with Allah from something evil. How is it that we say now, I seek refuge with Allah from Allah? Huh? It's from His anger. It's from His displeasure. It's from His punishment. It's from His wrath. You see? Because the only one we can seek refuge with from is Allah. You can't seek refuge with, you know, seek refuge with Allah from, or seek a refuge with a talisman from Allah, or something like this, or from some evil. You can't seek refuge in, you know, some necklace somebody may wear. Like some people wear a necklace around their neck made out of ivory or some copper or some wood. And then some people put verses of Quran on, and they use that, they use the verses of Quran to seek protection. This is not allowed. You can't seek refuge in something created. You have to seek refuge with Allah from what He created. And when you go inside of a building, a new house or something like that, there's a hadith on the authority of Khuwayla bint Husayn, I believe it is, radiallahu anha, that she said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the person leaves and he goes into this new place, this new new place they're going to go in, a room or something, like a hotel room or something, they say, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ تَامَّةِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ. I seek refuge in the perfect names of Allah, the perfect words of Allah from that which He created. Alright? So this is a proof, once again, that you can seek refuge with Allah, seek refuge using Allah's words in the book of Allah. You can use the Quran to seek refuge, the words in the Quran, from everything they created. He says, whoever does this, they will be protected until they go back to their menzil, until they go back to their house. Alright? أعوذ بكلمات الله تامة من شر ما خلق. I seek refuge with the perfect words of Allah from that which He created. Alright? Well, let's go on. And then it says, وأجمع السلف على ثبوت السخط لله فيجب إثباته له من غير تحريف ولا تعتيل ولا تكييف ولا تمثيل وهو سخط حقيقي يليق بالله. And that the Salaf, our rightly guided predecessors, they are in ijma', there's consensus that there's affirmed that Allah has this strong displeasure. And it's obligatory for us to believe in it without changing the meaning, without denying it, without saying how. We don't know how Allah's displeased, and without showing any likenesses from among the created things. Allah is not angry like the President of the United States. Allah is not angry like Prophet Muhammad was angry. Allah doesn't get angry, or I mean has displeasure like a mother has displeasure for her child disobeying him. No. Allah's displeasure, laysa kamithlihi shay, wa huwa as-sami'ul basir. There's nothing like him, and there's no displeasure like his. There's no sukht. Laysa sukht mithlihi. There's no sukht like his. There's no rida like his. There's no mahabba like his. There's no anything is nothing that he has like anyone else's or any other created thing. وَفَصَّرَهُ أَهْلُ التَّعْتِيلِ بِالْإِنْتِقَامِ. And the people who have deviated from among the Muslims, may Allah forgive them, forgive them and pardon them and all of us. Ameen. They say that this word sukht is wrath, retribution. Alright? Al-intiqam, retribution or wrath or vengeance. Okay? Then we have another word, al-karaha, which is another attribute of Allah. Al-karaha. And we're going to end it after these next two, inshallah. Break for salah. I tell you, I can't really tell you the difference between these two. You really have to find somebody who knows Arabic very well to tell you the difference between, maybe there's some brother sitting here, I don't know, who knows the difference between this and this, the sukht and this one. Karaha. Al-karaha. This is another type of displeasure, like the word makruh, and this word comes from the same root. Al-karaha. Alright? Now it's interesting that the Shaykh who wrote this book, Al-Imam Al-Muwaffiq al-Din Abi Muhammad Abdullah Ibn Muhammad Ibn Ahmad Ibn Muhammad Ibn Qudama Al-Maqdisi, he, rahimahullah, we know him as Ibn Qudama. He's a very, very great scholar of hadith and fiqh and tafsir and hadith science. He was a Hanbali scholar. He says in this section, Al-karahatu min Allahi liman yastahiqquha thabitatun bil kitabi wa sunnah wa ijma'i salaf. But this one, he didn't say this with the other ones. He said, Al-karaha from Allah is for those who are justified or eligible to have it. And this is a type of displeasure also. And this is confirmed by A, B, and C, the book, the sunnah, and ijma'. He says, from the Quran, you see chapter 9, verse 46. Surah At-Tawbah. It's a form of displeasure. Al-Karahatu. Al-Karaha. Right? Verse 46 of Tawbah says, Karihallahum bi'athahum. Karihallahum bi'athahum. And the translation for that is what? وَلَكِنْ كَرِهَ اللَّهُمْ بِعَاثَهُمْ. No. Let's see. 46. But Allah was averse to their being sent forth. That's it. Aversion. So we call this aversion. What does it say over here in Yusuf Ali? Okay. So they translate this as aversion. I don't personally, I'll tell you the truth, I don't know the difference between, I'll go home and check it inshallah, the difference between karaha and sukh. I really don't know. I don't know what's the difference between aversion and strong displeasure. I guess you can have a strong displeasure about something, and is that an aversion? It seems like the same thing. But there has to be a difference, because ma anzal Allahu al-Qur'ana fil abath. Allah didn't reveal the Quran for pastime or play or sport. Every single word has a special meaning in every place. So this word karaha has to have some slight difference from sukht. It has to. Because Allah doesn't play games like we do, you know. He doesn't do things like that. Alright? And then there's the hadith in Al-Bukhari, as for the proof from the Sunnah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَرِهَ لَكُمْ قِيلَ وَقَالَ وَكَثْرَةُ السُّؤَالِ وَإِضَاعَةِ الْمَالِ. That surely Allah has an aversion for you. He has a strong aversion. Three things. قِيلَ وَقَالَ. He said, she said. This is one of the things Allah dislikes strongly. He has a strong aversion for this. It was said, he said, she said, they said, well, I heard him say, you said this, she said that. Allah, this is the first thing the hadith mentions. That Allah dislikes this. It's a strong aversion for this. The second thing, وَكَثْرَةُ السُّؤَالِ, and asking a lot of questions. Abundance of questions. Just ask, just keep asking, keep asking, keep asking questions. Right? And we know that many of the nations before us were destroyed because they asked their prophets a whole lot of questions. Well, what kind? فَقَالُوا دُعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِي. They asked them, what kind of cow should it be? قَالُوا دُعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ. This is the type of thing that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. So the first thing was, he said, she said, or it was said, and he said. The second is asking questions, وَإِضَاعَةَ الْمَالِ, and wasting money. Wasting property. These are the three things. There's this hadith in Al-Bukhari in the book of Al-Adab, etiquette. It's in the book of etiquette. Under the section, عُقُوق الْوَالِدَيْنِ مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ. Under the section, disrespecting and disobedience of parents is of the major sins. That's in Al-Bukhari. The book of Al-Adab, the book of etiquette, and the section of disrespecting or disobeying the parents is of the major sin. It's of Al-Kabair. And in Muslim, it's in the book of Al-Aqdiyah. Al-Aqdiyah, I guess we translate it as judgment. Maybe something like this. The book of judgment, Al-Aqdiyah. Right? How many times did I say already? Everybody, I want everybody to know this is my brother-in-law here. He's a nuisance. My brother-in-law is a nuisance. So he came all the way from Brooklyn to bother me. Alright? It's in the book of Adab. In the book of etiquette. And then in Muslim, it's in Kitab al-Aqdiyah. I guess you can call it the book of judgment. I don't know. Book of judgment. It's in the section of the prohibition, النَّهْيُ عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْمَسَائِلِ مِنْ غَيْرِ حَاجَةٍ. It's in the section of the prohibition of abundance of questions or asking a lot of questions without a valid need. Alright? And the hadith is on the authority of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah رضي الله عنه. Okay, and it's a consensus. It's agreed upon among the scholars of the past, among the Sahaba, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this aversion, al-karaha. The people who have deviated, we have about 6 minutes left, people who have deviated, they say that karaha is al-ib'ad. 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 For lack of better words, it's not too easy for me to translate this word. But al-ib'ad, it means like being remote, being sent away, like exiled. Like Allah is not really has an aversion, but they're saying that Allah is exiling the person, making them far away from Himself. He's sending them far away from themselves. Subhanaka wa hamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. No, you can, because it's time.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
The attribute of النزول. النزول, and it's confirmed only by B and C. Only by B and C. And when we mean by confirmed by A, B, and C, we mean confirmed A, B, and C explicitly. But in this one, it's confirmed by B and C explicitly and A implicitly. Implicitly meaning we don't find in the book of Allah that explicitly, clearly, the statement that Allah says He descends. But we do find it in the Sunnah and in the Salaf, the people, the rightly guided predecessors, they totally agreed on this, that Allah descends. All right? From the Sunnah, وَمِنَ السُنَّةِ قَوْلُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ إِلَى سَمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. Right? And al-Bukhari, it's in the book, just a minute, وَزَادَ إِبْنُ الْقَيِّمْ فِي اجْتِمَاعِ الْزُيُوشِ صَفْحَى وَقَوْلُهُ لِلَّهِ أَفْرَحُ بِتَوْبَتِي بِتَوْبِهِ عَبْدُهُ. Okay. This can be found, let's see, let's give the whole hadith. It says النزول, نزول الله إلى السماء الدنيا من صفاته الثابتة له بالسنة وإجماع السلف. That Allah is descending to the lower, to the lowest heavens, or to the السماء الدنيا, is of the affirmed attributes that He has from the Sunnah and the consensus of the Sahaba and those people who follow their way. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ينزل ربنا إلى السماء الدنيا حين يبقى ثلث الليل الآخر فيقول من يدعوني فاستجيب له إلى الآخر. This hadith can be found in al-Bukhari in the book of At-Tahajjud. The book of At-Tahajjud, Tahajjud, Tahajjud prayer. In the section of Ad-Du'a wa-Salah fi Akhir al-Layl. Dua and prayer or supplication and salah in the end of the night. That's the section that it's under. And in Muslim, it can be found in the book of the prayers of the travelers. Salatul Musafirin. That's in Muslim. Al-Bukhari in the book of Tahajjud in the section of dua and salah in the last part of the night. And in Muslim, it's found in the salah, in the book of Salatul Musafirin, which is the book of the travelers, prayer of the travelers, in the section of At-Targhib fi al-Du'a wa al-Zikri fi akhir al-Layli wa al-Ibaha fihi. The strong inciting desire to, and my translation is going to be, of course, different from the person who translated this, concerning dua and zikr in the last part of the night and the permissibility of it, of making dua and zikr at night. That's in that section in the book of Prayer of the Travelers on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu on both hadiths in Bukhari and Muslim. Oh, wait a minute. Yes. And also in the section, in that same section, on the authority of Abu Sa'id and Al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu, and this was the one that Muslim extracted. Yes. On which one? The section? No, the book of the prayer of the travelers, and the section of, it's my words, this is my translation. If you go to the Muslim, you're not going to find, Allah knows best, you're not going to find the exact words. That's why you have to listen to what I'm saying and try to think about the words that I'm using, because this is my translation. This is not the way it's translated there. But basically they say the same thing. The strong desire concerning dua, or the incitement of having the strong desire to incite making dua and zikr in the last part of the night, and permissibility of concerning it. or permissibility therein. And the hadith is, our Lord descends to the lowest heavens at the time when only the last third of the night remains. This is my translation. This is my translation. All right? You may see it worded differently, but the meaning is the same. And he says, من يدعوني فأستجيب له. Who is making dua to me? Who is calling out to me? Who is invoking me? Who is imploring me? Who is supplicating to me? فأستجيب له, so I can answer him. Alright? We all know that this is a very excellent time to pray. Alright? Means both. Means both. Because if you look at the section that Al-Bukhari put it in, excuse me, the book that he put it in, the book what? Book of what? No, not the book of dua. No. The Hajjud. So it lets you know it's Salah and dua. See, you be very careful when you see here these things. You look at the section that the Imam put it in. You look at the section that Bukhari or Muslim or Abu Dawud put it in, this tells you a lot. Tells you a lot. Alright? For instance, in Al-Bulugh Muram wa Adillat al-Ahkam, in Adillat al-Ahkam, the book, very famous book of hadith that revolved, or the books of fiqh, the book of fiqh, that all the hadiths that revolve around all the issues of fiqh by Ibn al-Hajr al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, he, in the book of al-Hidana, on maintenance, on the book of Hidana, on maintenance, I guess we call it maintenance, we call it child custody, but it also means maintenance, supervision. In that book, he has a hadith that deals with the woman who didn't feed, give drink to a cat and kept it bounded, kept it tied up, and she went to hell. The woman who went to hell for keeping the cat. Why would he have this included in the same book of talking about who the children go to when you get a divorce? Why? Because you're responsible for even the animals. See? So you have to be real careful. Always pay attention to what book they put these things in. It tells you a lot. These people didn't just throw a hadith over here and a hadith over there in their books. They were very careful. Imam al-Bukhari, he made 2 rak'ah of istikhara before every salah before he included it in his book. He got over 7,000 hadiths in his book. 2 rak'ah of istikhara before every hadith before he inserted it. And that's only the ones that he recorded. Alright? Okay. It's only B and C. It's only B and C explicitly. It's implicitly that we find the descension of Allah mentioned to the lower heavens. There's no ayah that says it explicitly. But we know it's there. If it's in the Sunnah and the Quran are both revelation, and they agreed on it, then we know implicitly it's in the Quran. We know it's in the Quran. Alright? But it takes somebody with some knowledge and some deep understanding to pull it out. I happen to be not one of those people. Now, that's for the sunnah. For ijma', it says, وَأَجْمَعُ السَّلَفُ عَلَى ثُبُوتِ النُّزُولِ لِلَّهِ فَيَجِبُ إِثْبَاتُهُ لَهُ مِنْ غَيْرِ تَحْرِيفٍ وَلَا تَعْتِيلٍ وَلَا تَكْيِيفٍ وَلَا تَمْثِيلٍ وَهُوَ نُزُولٌ حَقِيقِيٌ يَلِيقُ بِاللَّهِ. And that the Salaf, our rightly guided predecessors, the Sahaba, Abu Bakr, Umar, Rahman, and Ali, and Talha, and Zubair, and Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas, and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, and Fatima, and Aisha, and Abu Bayda al-Jarrah, and Bilal ibn Rabah, and Abdullah ibn Maktum, and all the Sahaba agreed that Allah descends. Without changing the meaning, without saying how, without denying that He does it, and without saying He descends like anything created. They accepted it as actual nuzul and nuzul. وَفَصَّرَهُ أَهْلُ التَّعْتِيلِ. And the people among the ummah who have deviated, they give the explanation of Allah's descension بِنُزُولِ أَمْرِهِ أَوْ رَحْمَتِهِ أَوْ مَالِكٍ مِّن مَلَائِكَتِهِ. Alright? They say that it's Allah's command that comes down, right? Or Allah's mercy that comes down, or one of the Allah's angels comes down. The Muslims who have deviated, they say it's either one, Allah's command that comes down, or His mercy that comes down, or an angel from His angels that comes down. Okay, now, we want somebody to refute this. Challenge this. We want some brothers here to challenge this. Challenge this, number one. Why can't it be the command of Allah coming down? Why is it Allah Himself and not the command? How would you argue against this? That's not a proof. No. Number one, Allah's prophet said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is how you find us implicit in the Quran. This is what lets you know that implicitly it's mentioned in the Quran. Even though you don't find the actual verse, you don't find an actual ayah, wadiha, sariha, a clear explicit verse, you know that Allah's ascension is in the Quran. Why? Because Allah says, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَى. By the star, when it sets, your companion Muhammad does not err, nor does he deviate. He does not speak of his own desire. It is revelation in which he aspired with. So if the Messenger of Allah does not speak of his own desire, and he says, وَيَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا حِينَ يَبْقَى الثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْآخَرِ, in the thuluth al-layl al-akhir, that Allah, our Lord, descends to the lowest heavens when the time, the last third of the night is present, right, when it only remains, then this is a proof that Allah is actually saying it's in the Quran. Because you go back now to the verse where it says the messenger doesn't speak of his own desire. So if he didn't make it up and he got it from Allah, then that's Allah saying it on the tongue of the messenger of Allah. Even though you don't find the actual verse written, Allah is saying it in the Quran because the messenger of Allah doesn't speak of his own desire. So in actuality, once again, it is in the book of Allah. But it's in the book of Allah implicitly, and it's in the Quran, in the Sunnah explicitly. Alright? You follow what I'm saying, brothers? Alright, so that's the first way we know there's not command or mercy or angels from among his angels. What's another proof? What's a proof against this one? What's a proof against this one? Number two, that it doesn't mean his mercy is coming down. Same proof, but an additional one to the first one. What's another proof? A rational proof. Not a transmitted proof, a rational. Aqli. Dalil on aqli. Because His mercy is always coming down. If it just came down that time of night, we'd all be destroyed. We'd all be destroyed if Allah's mercy comes down on a certain time of night. Right? That's how we survive. From His mercy. If it's only one third of the night that Allah's mercy comes down, subhanAllah, brothers, it's over for us. It's over. As we say in the street, it's over Dover. Right? What's a proof that it's not this? No, that's not a proof. No. Nope. Good try. See, that's the way I used to get him on Chance Lab in the class. Right? I used to see he's been waiting to get somebody. Because he knows all these answers, see. He's waiting to get somebody else, right? Alright. What is the proof? Same proof again, but then there's an additional one in addition to this one and this one. Listen to the hadith one more time. Listen to the words. Our Lord descends to the lower heavens at the time when it only remains a thuluthu layl akhir, a third of the last part of the night. Fayaqulu, and He says, Man yadu'uni, who's calling on me? Fastajibu lahu, so I can answer him. But why can't you? Why the people who say it's an angel? What are they saying? They, number one, they deny it. It's Tatil and Huh? They're associating an angel with Allah, and even more than that, what are they saying? It's shirk. Because they're saying now, if this statement says, فَيَقُولُ, and it is he who is saying, مَنْ يَدْعُونِي, whoever calls on me, they're saying now that an angel is going to have the audacity, the nerve, who can't even disobey Allah anyway, and going to say, whoever calls on me, I'm going to answer them. You see what they're saying? Right? So they're actually saying that an angel is asking the human being to call and make dua to them. This is a ridiculous. This is ridiculous. They don't have anything to stand on. And anything if it's a fourth and a fifth and a sixth, is the argument is probably as baseless as the first, second, and the third. It's Allah Himself. And He is asking. No one else is asking. We have 10 minutes left, inshallah. 10 and a half minutes left. Okay. He doesn't speak of his own desire. It's the chapter 53. Thank you. 1 through 4. The chapter called An-Najm. An-Najm. The star. In fact, similar to this, akhi, similar to this, people take the fifth or sixth or seventh or eighth, I don't know how many down, or ninth or tenth verses, about four or five more verses after this, maybe two or three verses after this, and they try to use those verses to prove that it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the prophet saw when he was receiving the revelation. But it's actually Jibreel, talking about Jibreel. All right? And then it says, okay, that's it. Okay, the next attribute, and we only have about four or five left. After this one is four. Okay, the next one is Ad-Dahak. 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 Actually, it's Dahak. We just put Ad-Dahak. Ad-Dahaku. Allah has the attribute of laughter. Believe it or not. And this is confirmed. الضحك من صفات الله الثابتة له بالسنة وإجماع السلف. It's only confirmed explicitly by B and C. And of course it's implicit by A. Right? Because we can go right back to the surah, the star. He doesn't speak of his own desire. He says, Allah laughs. Alright? And we have the hadith that is collected by Imams Al-Bukhari. Alhamdulillah, all these hadiths are authentic. Al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. And Al-Bukhari is in the book of Al-Jihad. In the book of Al-Jihad. Right? Under the section, a Muslim kills a kafir. Muslim kills a kafir. Alright? And in Muslim, it's in the book of Al-Imara, the book of government. In Muslim, it's in the book of government. I think that's like the third volume, I'm not sure, of Muslim in English. And in that section, it's in باب بيان الرجلين يقتل أحدهما الآخر يدخلان الجنة. So in the section of the explanation of the two men, one who killed the other, and both of them went to paradise. I'm laughing now. Can you imagine why Allah laughs? And listen to the hadith. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم يضحك الله إلى رجلين يقتل أحدهما الآخر يدخلان الجنة. Allah laughs at two men, one who killed the other, both of them going to Jannah. Anybody know the answer? How? Why Allah is laughing at them? One, it's not true. He's my brother-in-law again, man. See, he's only your brother in this land, but he had to be my brother-in-law too, man. They think? This is, did you remember the section that it's in Al-Bukhari? What? No, section, not the book. The section is under. What? No, in Bukhari. What section is it under? That's why I said, pay attention to the books and the sections, brothers. Huh? A Muslim kills a kafir. So now what are you saying? Huh? They thought each other was kafirs? No. They thought each other was kafirs. Still doesn't mean anything. Allah's saying they both go to Jannah. Go ahead. MashaAllah. There you go. That's it. Ahsan. The Muslim was killed by the kafir. So the Muslim goes to Jannah. And then the kafir turns around and takes shahada, and he goes to Jannah. No. The kafir kills the Muslim. The Muslim is killed by the kafir, and he goes to Jannah. They're fighting in war. No, the kafir kills the Muslim. Excuse me. The kafir kills the Muslim. Hey, hey! Boo. See? Alhamdulillah, I'm glad there's no sisters here to hear me make this mistake. These brothers don't like to be embarrassed in front of sisters. That's why I'm glad the sisters are not here. And inshallah, I won't make that mistake Thursday. I won't make the same mistake Thursday. Inshallah. And we learn better when they're not around too, I tell you, brother. For sure. It's on tape? I don't care, man. We're going to splice that one out, man. We're going to edit these tapes, man. We want to let the sisters just hear us being serious all the time. Yeah. Hold it, just a minute. And this is the rest of the hadith. The rest of the hadith says, يُقَاتِلُ هَذَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيَقْتَلُوا ثُمَّ يَتُوبُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْقَاتِلِ فَيُسْتَشْهَدُ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. A rough translation is, he is fighting the one in the way of Allah, then he kills him, and then he makes repentance for the one that is the one who kills, makes repentance, and then he's martyred. Alright? So Allah laughs. Because Allah knows what's going to happen. He knows that this kafir is killing this Muslim. He laughs, the Muslim is going to Jannah. Alhamdulillah, Allah is happy. Right? And he also knows, which nobody else knows, that later on, this person is going to accept Islam, and he's going to go to Jannah. So Allah laughs. SubhanAllah. How do we believe Allah laughs? We don't know how he laughs. To say that he laughs like us, we can't say this. To change the meaning from laughter to something else, we're not allowed to do this. Alright? And the people of who have deviated, they say that laughter of Allah really means... Anybody want to take a guess? What has it been so far? No, reward. Remember, they didn't accept pleasure. They didn't even accept pleasure. Don't say pleasure. They said pleasure was reward. Right? Okay. In actuality, okay. And the next one, and then we have five more minutes, inshallah. The next one is... The next one is Al-Istiwa ala al-Arsh. No, I don't want to make a mistake on here, yeah? Al-Istiwa ala al الاستواء على العرش. No, it's only B and C. Yeah, it's only B and C. الاستواء على الأرش. All right? Ascension over the throne. This استواء الله على الأرش من صفاته الثابتة له بالكتاب والسنة وإجماع السلف. This is confirmed, brothers, by A, B, and C, that Allah is over His throne. Alright? One example from this, from the Quran, is Surah 20, verse 5. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. The Beneficent Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is over His throne. Alright? And Allah being over His throne is mentioned exactly in the Quran 7 times. Allah being over His throne. The istiwa of Allah is over His throne. And this is mentioned 7 times in the 7 places in the Quran. 7 places in the Quran. في سبعة موادع من القرآن. And we have a hadith that we already gave on the section on Allah's anger, not exceeding His wrath. His mercy exceeding His anger. إن الله لما قضى الخلق كتب عنده فوق عرشه إن رحمتي سبقت غضبي. It's another narration. Surely Allah, when He ordained the creation, or when He finished, قضى الخلق, when He finished the creation, He wrote with Himself over His throne, "My mercy, surely my mercy outstrips my anger." All right. Oh yeah. Okay. So this is mentioned in the Quran and also in the Sunnah and the Ijma' of the Salaf. They say, of course, we believe in this without changing the meaning, tahrif, without ta'til, without denying it, without takyif, without saying how, and without tamthil, that is istiwa'un haqiqiyun, that is an actual ascension. معناه العلو والاستقرار على وجه يليق بالله تعالى. And that the meaning of it is that He ascended it and He is firmly over His throne. How? We don't know. We don't say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sitting. We don't say anything like this. We just say He is over it. And we gave you the statement of Imam Malik that when the man came in the masjid and asked him, we mentioned this last week, He asked them how, and we don't ask how. Alright? The people of deviance, they say that people who have deviated among the Muslims on this point, on this attribute, they say that it doesn't mean ascension. They say it means conquering. The Lord conquered the throne. Al-isti-la. Al-isti-la. That He conquered or overpowered the throne. That's exactly what it means. It means that somebody had it from Allah before He conquered it. That's what. Divine personality? What do you mean? For pertaining to Allah? I don't think divine personality, we can call him this because I don't know of any name that Allah has that translates into divine personality. It's better to leave those type of names alone. Just call him what he called himself. Don't use your rational knowledge to try to, you know. Okay. There are so many brothers, this section is about two pages. We'll give one, another verse in the Quran, Surah Al-Mulk. What is Mulk? 68 or 67? 67. And it's verse 16. And it's also, it must be either 15 or 17. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Do you have security for the one who is, this is the particle that's used. Fis sama. For those brothers who are studying Arabic language, fis sama means ala as-sama. Ala as-sama. Not in the heavens, over the heavens. Alright? It doesn't mean in the heavens, it means over the heavens. If you check a book, any of the books of Arabic language, the classical works, especially the works like Ibn Hisham, is a book he has called Al-Mughni Al-Labib. If you check Fi has 10 different meanings. This particle, in, that we say in, has 10 different meanings. And one of the meanings is ala. One of the meanings is ala. Ala has about 14, I believe. Either 12 or 14. Either 12 or 14, I think. Means over. Right. Fi means ala. And has 9 other meanings. Okay? Also, the word al-istiwa has 3 meanings in the Quran. 3 meanings. And we'll end it here because it's 7:15. Al-istiwa has 3 meanings in the Quran. And the people who have deviated says, the people who have deviated in Islam, they said it has 6 meanings. They give it 3 more meanings to suit their, so it can fit their tafsir. Alright? But it has 3 meanings. Al-Istiwa has 3 meanings in the Quran. Some people may say it has 4, but still it doesn't deviate from what we're talking about. Al-Istiwa, this is only now for the brothers. The brothers who are studying Arabic, you should stay. But the brothers who are not studying Arabic, you can actually go now if you want. Because this may bore you. I don't know. Al-Istiwa. But the brothers who are studying Arabic, inshallah, you should get some benefits. The word al-istiwa in the Quran has 3 basic meanings. One, when it's used with the particle, prepositional particle, with the prepositional particle ala. Then, the one that's used with the prepositional particle ila. And then one when it's used without a prepositional particle. Alright? When it's used with the prepositional particle ala, it means over or and above. Over and above. We'll say over and above. Over and above. To rise over and be above. When it's with ila, it means turn to something with an intent or purpose. And when it's without the prepositional particle, any prepositional particle at all, it means to become mature or ripe. difference? It's a big difference, right? When you find LSTY, this word, whether it's a noun or a verb, istawa, that's the past tense, istawa, or you find it in the present tense, yastawi, or in the verbal noun, istiwa. Istiwa. Past tense, the fi'l al-madi, the fi'l al-mudari, present tense, and the verbal noun. No matter where it comes, it can be istawa ala, istawa ila, or istawa without. Or it can be yastawi ala, yastawi ila, or yastawi without. Or it can be istiwa'un ala, istiwa'un ila, or istiwa'un without a prepositional particle. If it's istawa ala, it means over and above. Like Allah says, ar-Rahmanu ala al-arsh istawa. Ala al-arsh istawa. That means Allah is over His throne. But if it says istawa ila, ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات. And it says that Allah, after He created the heavens, after He created the earth, says ثم استوى إلى السماء. Now it doesn't mean He's over it. It means He turned towards that thing called the heavens with a certain purpose in mind, with a certain intent to do something. All right. And if it is استوى without ala or ila, it means to become mature or ripe. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Musa, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى. And when we made him firm and mature, meaning when he became 40 years of age, then we did this for him. Alright, so that's the different meanings of istawa. As far as conquering something and overpowering something, Allah didn't overpower the throne. Allah created it. He owns it. He doesn't have to overpower it or conquer it or wrestle it back from anybody. He ascended it. In a manner befitting His majesty, He's over it. How? We don't know. To believe in it is obligatory. To elaborate on it and say how is bid'ah. And to believe in it is absolutely imperative. Subhanaka Allah wa hamdaka. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wahdaka la sharika lak. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum. You just found out? MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Look at the translation for Thumastawa ala al-Arsh. It says, and it's moreover firmly established on its own. Is that a bad translation? Moreover?
No, moreover, it doesn't even have to deal with the word as to where.